welcome the councillors to this meeting of the Board Council here on the 5th of November. Could I first of all ask for approval of the minutes of the meeting of the council held on 12th of September as published on the council website?
Aye.
For the extension, could I have a apology for absence, please?
Mr. Mayor, I receive apologies from Councillor Jenny Barrow and Councillor Brian Cross.
Thank you. Are there any declarations of interest? I have one or two announcements to make. First of all, there's the Mayor's Charity Appeal. I'd just like to advise you on ladies' luncheon. We raised over £450, which we well supported, and that's really good news. And likewise, we held a cake, or what's known as a barn dance, in Great Haywood in November, supported by a very good band. Thank you. And again, we raised over £600 on our team, and everybody had a good time. I'd like to give you notice as well about an event coming up, Abba Tribute Evening. You've had notice of that delivered to you, no doubt, if not, please ask for one. It's at the top of the world in Stafford on Friday the 1st of March next year. We do need to get response to this to make sure that it's viable. It's going to be a really good night because it's a very good Abba tribute band. So if you like that kind of music, Mamma Mia, a good sing song and dance, please sign up and bring as many people as you can. I'd just also like to advise councillors that I've been in contact with Elizabeth First and negotiating with her to return to the civic buildings to handle the silver maces again. Those of us who've been on the civic tour will know what I'm talking about. Well, that will be announced in the future. Before I proceed any further, it is with sadness that I have to announce the passing of former Alderman Christine Bailey Barron. And I'd like you to stand and join me for 1 minute silence. Before we start the full agenda, before we proceed to the next item on the agenda, I understand that Councillor Whittington has given notice that he would like to present a residence petition. Could Councillor Whittington please summarise the petition ready for presentation to the relevant cabinet?
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. The petition is from the people of Sutton, and following the planning meeting where development was turned down on the site of the Red Lion and the car park, they now want Barrett Borough Council to help them with this site. There is problems with the building in terms of it's not secure, there's water ingress, and it's the one end wall is being supported by what has been described as matchwood. It's in a very poor state to be left to fall around the ears of the local people. It is a community asset, and we really do not want to see in Stafford another crooked house. And it's going this way, and I'm sure other councils have got examples of pubs that have been bought and left to fall apart so that they can then be changed, the change of use. There is a problem with antisocial behaviour. I went past on Saturday and there was two police cars were going into the site to see it been entered illegally. Under section 77 and 78 of the Building Act 1984, Stafford Borough can require the owner to make the property safe and does enable the authority to take emergency action should this not be done. And another, under part 1 of the Housing Act 2004, Stafford Borough Environment and Health Officers can also evaluate the risk of health and safety from the deficiencies around the Red Lion. As I said, this is a community asset. It's the only one that they've got in Sutton, and I think it's only right that Stafford Borough Council should continue to support the residents as they did with the community asset request. And as I said before, we don't want this to be yet another crooked house. So I've got a petition here from the good people of Sutton. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Chair.
Is there a speech on the subject that happened
in the bell time? Who's going to
bell time, Mr. Mayor, before we get into the agenda proper, would it be appropriate just to say a few words about ex-alderman Christine Barron? Because I think the service that she gave to this council warrants maybe one or two of us saying a few words about her tireless and indefatigable service, if that would be appropriate.
I've got no issue with that, thank you. I'd like to start.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to pay tribute, particular tribute to Alderman Christine Barron. She was indefatigable. Her commitment to public service and her own community is just without question. She had energy that knew no bounds. She wasn't just committed to this council and her local community. She was involved in so many groups, whether it was action groups on Save Stafford Hospital, whether it was through working at Stafford United almshouses. But she had 37 years on this council, working tirelessly for the council and her community. And she was undefeated. She was loved by her local community, and that is why I think it is only fit and proper just to pay tribute to the work that she did and the memory that she will have left with lots of people who have ever met and interacted with her.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I totally agree with the Leader of the Opposition. Chris was unique. She basically was Stafford Borough Council for a long, long time. People worked for her for guidance. Sometimes she offered guidance when you wasn't asked for, but it was usually correct. But she will be missed, and she is missed. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Chris is one of the most dedicated councillors I've ever had the pleasure to work with. She worked so hard for the people of Thornbridge. It says it all when her chosen charity was Stafford United Charities. I remember Chris with her husband Jeff, he was also a councillor, when she was mayor of the borough in 1999. Chris's biggest attribute was she cared about her constituents, she loved her family deeply, and it showed whenever you had a conversation with her, talking about everyday chatter. The people of Thornbridge have lost a very good friend in Chris. I was very proud not only to work with her, but also to say she was a very dear colleague, but most of all, a very dear friend. Rest in peace, Chris. Rest in peace, Chris. God keep you in his loving care. Thank you.
Sentiments shared by us all who knew Chris. Okay, we move on to item 5 of the agenda for the question time. I invite Alderman Patrick Fagden to put a question to Councillor Kenny.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much. The question is straightforward, doesn't need any embellishment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Alderman Farrington is aware that it is councillors that set the policy and what they want to see happen. It is the officers that deliver. Good administrations base themselves on teamwork, and I am part of that team. I spend many hours or many days of each week talking to officers and working with officers as others do. So far, this team has seen the market square delivered on time, allowing for the Christmas lights which on to take place, Westbridge Park play area opening ahead of schedule, work on station approach will be starting soon, and the co-op being purchased. It is only 6 months into this new administration, and all this has been achieved. That should be approved.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. And Alderman Barrington, you have a question to put to Councillor Sutton. I beg your pardon, Alderman. Do you want to clarify anything from that response? Anybody?
Well, indeed, Mr. Mayor, I'm astonished at the reply because everybody here knows, as does the borough public at large, that in fact it was my administration that dealt with all of the items contained in that question, and how we can stand and take credit for something that my administration and council delivered is astonishing. My supplementary question is, was he aware that on the day that the market square was officially opened, the Labour group were handing out leaflets in which they claimed the credit for delivering those items? And I just wondered how that squared with his answer. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor
Kent,
do you wish to respond to that?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Just really. But this, you know, I'm just going to repeat that this administration has achieved in 6 months. Those that I mentioned above, not in 20 years, as a previous administration had done. But I thank Alderman Farrington for his question about developments, as it gives me the opportunity to personally make a very important announcement that we are in advanced stages of negotiations to buy the Guildhall Shopping Centre. We are serious about the regeneration of our town centre. It was what the residents told us on the doorstep at the election time. And it is our number one priority, and I'm sure members on all sides of the chamber will welcome this announcement about the Guildhall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like our purchasing of the former co-op department store, this administration is taking matters into its own hands to increase the pace of regeneration. But this will not just be down to me personally. As I said previously, this administration, we work as part of a team. And I'm pleased that we have some great officers and councillors as part of that team to deliver these exciting developments.
Thank you, Councillor. We now have... Sorry, Councillor Kenny, your mic. Thank you. Alderman Brandon, you have a question to put to Councillor Lazy.
Mr. Mayor, again, the question is straightforward. Thank you.
Councillor Lazy, do you wish to respond?
Can I thank Alderman Farrington for his question? And when I first read the question, for some unknown reason, I read Westbridge Park as Rowley Park. And then I thought, oh, it can't be Rowley Park, because anybody who first walks into Rowley Park knows that the previous administration didn't give a toss about Rowley Park. And then I reread the question and realised, sorry, it was Westbridge Park. As for the role that I've played in the Westbridge Park project, I've met up regularly with the officers overseeing this development to make sure I'm always updated on progress, given an opportunity to ask questions and provide observations and input. I have made 6 visits to the park in order to keep updated with progress, provided media updates, responded to questions and concerns by residents, consulted with officers as to whether the park has as much to offer girls as it does boys, kept officers briefed of all customer feedback following the opening of the woodland area and the playground, and made sure I was aware of any flooding issues following periods of heavy rain. I even personally tested the slides. Now, it hasn't been that long since Alderman Farrington lost his borough council seat, and surely he hasn't already forgotten that it would be an insult and disrespectful to the professionalism, skills and knowledge of our officers for me to be micromanaging them or taking on their role. I conduct a full and appropriate role in my position as Cabinet Member for Leisure Services, and Westbridge Park is only one of the several sites which fall into my portfolio. This question, I believe, implies doubt over my competency and my ability to carry out my role as Cabinet Member for Leisure Services. As with any other Cabinet Member in the entire world, I am not expected to be an expert. That is not my job. Alderman Farrington might have doubts about my ability to effectively and competently execute my role, but what matters most is that I am here at the will of the people. They demonstrated their faith in me by re-electing me in May with an even bigger majority. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you follow up with any supplementary question, Councillor?
Well, indeed. It's not really the name of the game. I asked a very simple question, and again, everybody in this chamber knows the answer, but in fact, Councillor Fardaisi, whether she is competent or not, is not the issue here. The question was simply put as to her involvement in concerning the delivery of planning execution and so on of the play facility at Westbridge Park. My supplementary question arises out of the answer that she gave by reference to Burnley Park. Indeed, Councillor Paradisi wasn't on the council when I was in fact a member of REL for 12 years. And during that time, I asked this question of her, was she aware that it was my administration that in fact delivered enhanced facilities at Burnley Park Stadium too, by way of a new, completely new revamped stadium, 3G facility and play facilities. In view of her answer, was she aware of that, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. Part 4, Section 1, Council Procedure Rules, 11.9. The questioner may ask one supplementary question only for the purpose of seeking clarification of the answer of the initial question.
Thank you, that's helpful.
Councillor Kenny is correct. It must be a question to clarify part of the answer given. Mr. Mayor, it's up to the Cabinet whether she needs to respond or not.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. All I will say is, irrespective of whether or not I was aware of what was put in place in Rowley Park, all I know, and all the residents of the area surrounding Riley Park, which is one of the most deprived areas in our borough. All they know is it's an absolute disgrace the state it's in right now.
Thank you, Councillor. The question was aimed at Westbridge. I'm concerned as we go slightly off track, we're not careful in debating every park in the borough. Thank you for those questions.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. The council procedure rules have been raised. I asked a properly pertinent question from the answer that the cabinet member gave.
Yeah, the question was what I'm responding to.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you.
Hark, Mr. Mayor. That was the voice of Christmas past.
Don't be so insulting, Councillor Cole.
Okay, thank you, councillors. Thank you. We now move on to item 6, the council session. Again, these are questions and not debates. I hope to remind everybody. The first one is from Councillor Beattie, who submitted a question according to paragraph 12.3a to Councillor Beattie. Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll take the question as read. Need to read it out again.
Mr. Mayor, yes, I share the Councillor's frustration. I believe that were our position swapped, I might well be asking Councillor Beattie the same question at the same time and likely getting the same answer that I'm about to provide. Following the preferred options consultation of the new local plan 2020-2040, the Governor has published a number of proposals signalling significant changes to the planning system, to the process and the content of local plans. Last month, the Levelling Up and Regeneration Act 2023 paved the way for secondary legislation and national planning policy to provide more details. Now, as a result, the local plan timescales, as set out in the Local Development Scheme of October 2022, will be updated in the new year to take account of the most up-to-date, evidence-based information and ensure that future steps reflect the latest national planning policy framework and guidance. There is no new timescale at this time, neither formal nor informal. I note and welcome the fact that as Chair of the Development Scrutiny Committee, Councillor Beattie has agreed to add the local plan as a discussion item to the next meeting's agenda. I look forward to engaging with the committee at that time, and I believe that a discussion in that forum will be good for everyone involved.
Chair Fuller. Mr. Mayor, please. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think the problems are undoubtedly difficult in that the government has come forward with the Levelling Up Bill, which has included a great amount of planning legislation and has not come forward with the planning legislation that was anticipated. The Levelling Up and Regeneration Bill became law at the end of October, but we basically knew what was in it before, and as the previous administration, we had very clear sight of what we intended to do, which was to go forward on the basis that we'd make the changes if it needed to be. So we knew a lot of this stuff beforehand, and the published programme is still as it was, that the formal publication of the proposal, I'm reading from the website.
The
formal publication, July to September, hasn't appeared. The submission hasn't appeared, which should have gone to the inspector, and the examination in February hasn't appeared. Now, my question is, does the cabinet member appreciate the significant implications resulting from the delays that I think should have been dealt with and have the plan taken forward a lot sooner? It means that the future of the Neasbrook plans, which would take urban development away from our towns and produce endless development pressure in our large villages and its implication, has not been satisfied. A plethora of large acreage solar farms, three in my ward alone, where we have no guiding policy yet, and to mark FMRGMT sites which have been met by inspector decisions. My question is, how is the administration going to deal with these in the context of the new local plan legislation that's come through? Does it mean that you have to start with a new plan and begin from the beginning, basically putting at risk all these various major planning issues that we would have dealt with by last July? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So thanks for the follow-up question. It's again on timeline, really, but you asked me, do I realise the implications? There is no new timescale at this time. We are hoping to put a timescale in place in the new year. At that point, let's talk about any implications of what the revised timescale will be.
Can I just have my question answered?
No, sorry. All members may now ask questions, follow-up questions, if you like. And please, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. I think the answer is really enlightening, and I welcome the answer. And obviously, with governments, they're always changing the detail. I think it's a function of government in terms of what they try and do. Could the Cabinet member just be a bit clearer when in the new year? Because the new year is potentially a 12-month period, and I don't want to find that we're still in the same malaise for all the right reasons in 12 months' time. Thank you.
Good question. Thank you.
So by New Year, I am intending to have something that I can discuss at the scrutiny committee. It's a hope, it's an aim, but there is no timeline ahead of that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Yes, my question really is, my understanding is the leader and the cabinet member have met with parish councillors throughout the area, but what are they doing to meet with people that are not parish? How are they going to communicate with those things? Thank you.
It's a very good question. What we're trying to do is to meet with community groups who may or may not be impacted by what was in the preferred options, and then what was in the consultation response came from those consultations. We will talk to parish councils because it's very easy to identify who they are. In areas that are not parish, I will take it under advisement and I will come up with a way of approaching that. For example, there are resident associations in areas like Rowley and other areas of the town. They may be very good at answering some questions that we've got and listening to opinions. I'm only focusing on those areas that were identified in the preferred options, either the public preferred options or the feedback, the consultation responses that came from that. So if an area is not impacted, I'm not planning on visiting like every single parish, even if they're not impacted. So that's just to clarify really what was said in September as well, as to what my current intentions are. They are hope, they're not a firm power.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, the next question, item B, number 6, is that Councillor Whittington has submitted a question to Councillor Pearce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a very short question, so if you don't mind, I'll quickly read it out. And it is, can the Cabinet Member for Climate Change confirm the level of investment and budget in the next municipal year? Given the importance of climate change to the current and future generations of Staffordshire residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I welcome the question from Councillor Whittington and welcome his newfound interest in climate change. When I saw the question, I had this sense of deja vu, because of course it brings me back to a question that I asked a couple of years ago. So in February 2022, I put a question which related to the motion put to council in September 21, saying, whilst carbon reduction is given equal priority within the council's business plan as other objectives, it's clear that the amount of resources allocated to it is very different. I gave an example of economic growth and strategic projects with a budget of over £400,000 whereas there was no budget for tackling climate change. And of course, the question itself was asking what had happened to this motion, because it had been referred to Cabinet, but was never discussed. We never got it back to Council to discuss, as it should have been. So, we then, of course, had the budget for that year, which contained no provision for tackling climate change. We then had the budget for this year, set by the previous administration, which contained no budget for tackling climate change. To come to your question, yes, there is going to be a budget for tackling climate change when we formulate the budget for next year. Of course, I'm not going to be talking about what that will be, how much it will be. That is part of the budget process, which we're only just about to start. Thank you.
Councillor Livingston, you have the following question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two things that sort of resonate for me is obviously the cabinet member doesn't know what the rest of the borough is doing. I personally have got 250 acres, which is has got countryside stewardship on it. That answers what you're saying. So that's the first one. And secondly, I'm glad that he acknowledges the green thread that runs through the council from our previous administration. And in terms of questioning for the bemused member at the front on the other side, can the cabinet member please assure us that there will be no diversion of funds from the BNG units into the cabinet position? It is important that we progress with the green agenda, regardless of side swipes from the opposition. Thank you.
Yes, please. I presume, Mr. Mayor, that BNG refers to biodiversity net gain.
Absolutely.
And we had a presentation prior to this council meeting which set out very clearly the processes which are involved in allocating funds which arise from the new legislation. It is not possible to divert money which is allocated to biodiversity net gain into a budget of this council. Simply is not possible, and I would have thought he would have gathered that from listening to the presentation. But the answer is no.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Pearce. Okay, in that case we move on to the next question. Councillor Edgeware has submitted a question to Greenberg. Thank you.
Can you take it as read, Mr. Mayor? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am grateful, Councillor, for asking me this question, because I'm going to give you the answer you want. We should all work together. Ward members should be consulted with officers, and we should all come to decisions for the good of all our constituents. I'm sure you're pleased to hear that. I can give you an example. Thorbridge Ward, okay, as a new councillor, Councillor Julian Thorley. I have some really good news for Councillor Julian Thorley, and I'm going to tell him in this chamber. We're actually buying the Guildhall. It's on your ward, and I'm consulting you now to work with you. And it goes on with the co-op building and the finished of the square. Also the station approach. So really good news. So Councillor Edgeware, yes, we should all work together, and I should work with Councillor Julian Thorley to spread the good news about what's happening in the town centre. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much for your answer. Councillor Godfrey. But it's quite interesting, you're talking to somebody on your side of the fence. I'm now talking on to people on this side of the fence, okay? And I say to you, I refer to Bassett Ward, and I'm sorry, I'm going to bring Parks into this again. This is a question, which is mine and Councillor Phillips' area. With regard to Yelverton Park and the 106 money attributed to this ward when the police headquarters was built. Right, and that was developed. That discussion regarding this issue was delayed at the cabinet meeting sometime in the summer. Right, and both Councillor Phillips and myself have had no communication regarding the issue since then.
Can I ask how are we moving forward with the plans, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I can answer that. This is Yeovilton Park, isn't it?
It is.
And yes, there was the police headquarters, it was section 106 money. There was actually mentioned in the 106 money that it was due for two wards. It was due for your ward and the neighbouring ward. And we've had information back from the neighbouring ward's councillor at the time that person actually, under the old administration, wasn't consulted. Didn't have any communication with the controlling group at the time. And therefore felt that we had a raw deal. So, we have taken this back to have a look and see if the right decisions have been made. And as you know, Councillor Leiter, because you and I have discussed this at length, yes, we will be back to you very, very shortly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Can I
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm very pleased that the leader of the Council of Dagger to confirm we're going to continue working with other councils in their wards. Unfortunately, I'm waiting for the start because I'm a councillor in a ward that has some activity coming from the borough, and I'm a short councillor for that ward, and I haven't been approached about Boots Road, which is a site in Ecclesfield that's being developed through
the
council.
When does it start?
The question was, when does it start? When does it start working with councils? Because I've been working with an army councillor and projects going on in my borough, which have been put through the council, but without any talk to myself or I believe the councillor person might help out.
All I can say is, Mr. Mayor, if any councillor has any problems or think they're not being informed of what's happening on their ward, get in touch with a relevant cabinet member or officer, or indeed myself, and I will get back to you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Interesting that you should have made that point, because I actually have emailed the relevant officer regarding the money that's allocated to Yeovilton Park and have received absolutely no response whatsoever. I'd also like to add that as there's a review that's, and there is a question coming. As there is a review coming of the spending of that money, would you be willing to attend a public meeting in the Lafferty area to explain to the residents who voted for everybody, all different colours in our area, the decision that you come to?
That's cool.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm always willing to speak to anybody in the borough. Obviously, if you want to organise something, send me the details. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It was a very illuminating answer you gave to my colleague from Eccleshaw. I also represent Eccleshaw. I think you said, if any councillor feels he has not been informed, I thought we were talking about consultation. Does the leader know the difference between consultation and informing councillors? Because the tone feels entirely different.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
We wait to see it then.
Thank you. Okay, moving on now to final question. Councillor Burt, a question to Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Given the hour, I don't intend to read it. Take it as read, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the question. After reading the question, common sense told me that the first step would be to identify the policy that currently exists from the previous cabinet. Just to give myself a clear direction, there wasn't one, there isn't one. This government's harsh spending cuts and the cost of living crisis has resulted in an unprecedented demand on the voluntary sector and volunteers within the borough. We know a policy is an expectation, a definition, and a course of action which our cabinet will take to protect and work with an ever-growing voluntary sector. We'll do our best to support the challenges that they face in the meeting the needs and resources of the organisations who give so much on a daily basis, be it through kind, events, guidance to available funding, grants, donations or opportunities for networking and training with partners and agencies. We'll listen and respect their needs, all of which we consider vital for their survival. We take our responsibility to the voluntary sector seriously. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the answer, and I welcome what the Cabinet members said. And I think we should, I think we both share the same view that we pay tribute to the work, the vital work of the voluntary sector, particularly as it's so dynamic within Stafford Borough itself. I'm surprised the Cabinet member can't find a policy, but you know, I don't want to look backwards because I'm not convinced that's helpful for anyone. The question I have for the Cabinet member is in relation to two things. Does that mean, first of all, that the support, the financial support, the voluntary sector financial support and small grants will be continuing going forwards, first of all? And second of all, does that mean there is a date for the revised hosting of the community awards where the work of the voluntary sector is well celebrated and has been for many years?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is something that we are considering, and I would be more than happy to let you know as soon as we reach a conclusion of what we're going to do. As you know, we have a fantastic group of officers, totally efficient and competent and caring, so we will be writing to the council here.
Can I seek clarification?
Sorry, it's just
one. Point of order, I'm not sure I got an answer to both questions unless that was an answer for both questions. Sorry.
That's the discussion. There was an answer given, there was a question raised.
That's it.
Jeremy Paxton was.
I thought you were Mr. Kissinger then.
Okay, item 7 on the agenda. We have a motion pursuant to paragraph 31 of council procedures. Rules have been proposed by councillors Rose and Russo. Can I say before we embark on this one that there is no debate about this one because it has financial implications, therefore if vote is through, it will go to Cabinet.
Can we please have it read out?
It's a question.
Thank you.
A brief straw poll across the council. Please raise your hands if you wish it to be read out.
Well, we'll be timed out in 10 minutes.
Okay, so it's going to be faster cabinet anyway. So we have the proposed motion from Councillor Rose.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I propose this motion to protect our local rivers and tributaries whilst ensuring protection of our ocean through secondary effects. The state of local rivers was one of the top concerns heard by local residents by our green group, which I'm sure local councillors all around the borough also heard concerned from this. As we've also just heard from the presentation performance meeting, a healthy natural world is essential both for our mental and physical well-being. English rivers are among the most polluted in Europe, and compounded with the recent abandonment of the nutrient neutrality scheme, this will only worsen with time to come. We have a moral obligation to ensure ecologically prosperous rivers, not only for our current residents, but for generations to come.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor, second that. Thank you. Can we have all those in favour?
This is very good. It's done. Now it's set. It's done. It's done.
Thank you. Okay, that's passed a few pages on the agenda. We come to item 8. And the first item on the agenda is fees and charges review for 2024. This has been to scrutiny, I believe, and it's proposed by the Cabinet. Councillor Cook, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I wish to propose to the Council that the fees and charges for 2024 and specifically the new charges in paragraph 5.9 and the increases above 9% in paragraph 5.11 be approved. Mr. Mayor, July is the guide month for inflation, and in July 2023, inflation was running at 9% RPI and 6.8% CPI. For 2024, therefore, inflation is defined in financial regulations as the RPI was 9%. However, the good news is that in general, where officers have been delegated authority, those prices will rise by approximately 6%, allowing for rounding. Fees and charges, Mr. Mayor, are often set after bearing in mind market conditions, as has been said in the past, and as a result, some changes, where the council have the power to change them, will not rise, or will rise very less significantly, as shown in paragraph 5.8. Mr. Mayor, it should be noticed that the proposed charges have a direct bearing not only on the 24-25 budget, but beyond that as well. These things move on financially, so they don't just end at the end of 1 year. They have consequences for future years. The budget for 23-24 identified an initial budget gap of about £200,000. Now, that was a budget this year which was actually created by the previous Conservative administration. They had to create it because the financial year began in April. They were still in control then. We didn't have the election till May. So the 23-24 budget is the creation of the previous administration. And I hope we can bear that in mind in a moment. Although this gap of £240,000 is relatively small, there is no certainty at all that the financial settlement, the government's financial settlement for 24-25 onwards, no idea what it's likely to be. We don't know much of their thinking at all. We won't know, probably until very close to Christmas. In short, Mr. Mayor, I have to say that the higher the yield from fees and charges, the smaller that budget gap will be, which of course reduces the need to find services, cut services elsewhere. But relatively high charges may exclude or discourage some customers from using council services when they normally depend upon such services. And relatively high charges could also have an adverse effect on the level of trade, for example, and economic activity of the borough. For example, parking charges, as has been said before. In general, the schedule shows the increase of about 6%. Some are slightly higher and lower because of rounding the figures, which may be to the nearest 10p, the nearest pound, the nearest 10 pounds, depending on the overall size of that charge. Some charges are of course set by external regulators and organisations. We have no control over those. And those will be set up in the schedules. There are some which are done on a cost recovery basis. And some, only some, are identified, well, all those are identified in the schedule. And Mr. Mayor, as I've said earlier, there are a number of fees that it's proposed to be frozen. And these are shown in paragraph 5.8. For example, market fees due to the current trading environment. Those market fees are to be frozen. There are also some new trees, which are shown in paragraph 5.9, such as an early morning cremation service, which we haven't had before. There are also some trees which are proposed to be deleted in paragraph 5.10, such as course fees for food hygiene training, and also the replacement of lost season parking tickets. Now, there are going to be some proposed fees above 9%, such as some crematorium services. And the reason for that is it due to supply cost rises. We are facing supply costs there, and we have little choice but to pass them on to customers. Then there's the garden waste recycling. That reflects planned, and this is an important word for that, planned increases in the 2023-24 budget. The budget which was not created by us, but the budget which was created by the Conservatives.
Any responsibility?
So bear that in mind.
Any responsibility?
Didn't think you'd like that, but there we are, that's the reality.
You have the choice.
Parking charges for evenings and Saturdays, they've gone up by more because they've gone up from £1 to £1.10. Now, we could of course solve that by putting changing the machines so that they accept 5p coins. The cost of doing that would probably be the economics of the madhouse. And so they're rounded up by 10p. That also, of course, goes for the one-hour parking charge in Stowell from 70p to 80p. So, Mr. Mayor, having said all that about fees and charges, I would recommend these fees and charges to the Council for this year.
Thank you, Councillor Cook. So, the Councillor wishes to second that, please. Councillor Godfrey, thank you. Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Cook appears to be struggling with understanding his portfolio. Yeah. He has quoted budget gap on several occasions here. It is my understanding, and the papers we have in front of us today, and I will take them through you, Mr. Mayor, if I may, just when I finish. But my amendment is that the council's income is in such good health that we do not need any increase in charges. And we are in a position where we could promote the health of our retail sector by providing free parking afternoon for the 10 days before Christmas in both Stafford and Stowe. One would ask why I have come to this conclusion. I would refer you to page 62 in these documents. Through the judicious management for the last decade, you will note that the council has, at the mid-year, £78,720,000 on deposit. Council's expenditure for a whole year is in region of 20 million. If one looks at how our treasury has been managed at the mid-year point at the end of September, we were achieving, on average, something well north of 5%. 5% on £80 million approximately is £4 million a year of interest being received by this council against an overall spend of £20 million. That is a 25% excess. I believe this council is awash with money, and we have no need to increase charges on our residents unnecessarily. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, can I respond?
Just one moment. You mention in that an amendment to the proposal? Have I misunderstood you?
The amendment was that we should not increase the fees and charges, and we should actually offer free parking in the car parks in Stafford and Stone after 12 o'clock for the 10 days before Christmas.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor. Is that the amendment seconded?
Yeah.
Right, Councillor Fair. Okay. Does anybody wish to speak on that amendment?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, I can't let this go. This is nonsense. This is clearly reminiscent of a certain 2% decrease in council tax, which happened a few years ago. And look what that did to our finances. For goodness sake, Mike, this is rubbish. Come on, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, if the legal
council
has
done a thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, given that the Conservatives would have known about this figure on our investment accounts and so on before, why didn't they do this then? But they didn't. And the figures were there before.
Council tax
so. Do you mind? I'm talking. The
point
figures
order,
were
Mr.
there,
Mayor,
but they didn't mention that then.
In front of the scrutiny committee. I was only appointed
order. Excuse me, I'm talking. Mr. Mayor, the rules of debate.
Councillor Brooks, 1 minute. You've called for point of order, Councillor Dobson.
Yep.
Which point in standing order is that pointing?
I was objecting to Councillor Cook. That's not
breach of rules, I'm sorry. We've got to the point of order, and I need to know the reference in standing orders as to what that point is.
I thought it was the general principle of being inaccurate in what you're saying to council.
Then that needs to be part of the debate. Okay, so could we, Councillor Cook, sorry, continue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, as I was saying, these figures were known before. They're not new figures, but figures very similar to them were out last year. But yet nothing was said about these things.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, that's totally inaccurate as well.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. 15.12, can you just mention, a member may raise a point of order at any time, the mayor will hear them immediately. The point of order may only be related to an alleged breach of these council rules or procedure of the law. The member must indicate the rule or the law. Please indicate the rule or the law.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Please
come
I just remind members, I've been in parish councils where one councillor's standard apply to any debate as a point of order, Mr. Chair. You need to know what point of order it is, what point of standing order is referring to, otherwise it's not a point of order. That's not just me picking on you, councillor, it's everyone. That's just within our standing orders. So, thank you, Councillor Cook. Does anybody wish to respond to Councillor Burke?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now you see it, now you don't. Okay. So let me just respond to a couple of the points that have been made so far. I think there needs to be, there doesn't need to be anything, I suppose, but this side of the chamber believes in delivering good value for residents. And if we don't need to put up council tax, oh no, we're not there yet, are we? Fees and charges. I'm sure it's coming, though. fees and charges. Then we clearly don't take it off residents. Secondly, I think there is a very clear trajectory over the last 10 years of the Conservative administration keeping council tax low. And finally, the difference between last year and this year, as anyone who understands any figures will know, is that actually interest rates have risen. That wasn't an issue previously because interest rates were a paltry 0.5% or lower. And the difference today is that the average interest rate, I think, that the Borough Council is getting is just over 5.4%, and in an annual year, based on the current figures, will yield about £4 million of additional money that they didn't see before. By the way, point of order, the actual budget is only £14 million, not £20 million, so actually it's a bigger percentage than has been talked about. Can we go on to my substantive points, if I may, however? I wonder what the people of Stafford Borough are feeling. The first job of the new administration is to non-open market square and to take credit for opening market square and securing monies for Stafford Station Gateway, which actually was done under the previous administration, as we previously mentioned. But instead, they're going to increase council tax. They are planning on increasing fees and charges based on the numbers in front of us. But some fees and charges by up to 16.7%. Now, just remember that number, because we'll come back to that number. So where are we now? The important thing is about our residents. And we're in year two of a cost of living crisis, where household expenditure has gone up by nearly 20%. Fuel prices to keep people's homes warm are high and increasing again in January. Housing costs are rising steadily. And in short, people's expenditure is squeezed, and yet the Borough Council feels it's appropriate to be able to put up their fees and charges by up to 16.7%. It's interesting, isn't it? If you follow more than a couple of pieces of paper, that if you look at the Cabinet report on the 2nd of November, what was, and this is my point about now you see it, now you don't, people talk about the initial budget gap last year. But anyone who understands the numbers will know that we had an initial budget and then a final budget because of the timing of the government settlement, because it comes in too late. But anyone who reads the papers, the council, the cabinet papers from the 2nd of November, will know that actually the actual budget, because it's here in black and white, showed a surplus, not a deficit, an actual surplus of 25,000. Okay, so it's only 25,000, so that's nearly break even. Actually, the reality is the previous Conservative administration delivered, over-delivered, a variance of £782,000. Yeah. That means that we brought in and saved £782,000. So I wonder how people talk about there is no money. And yet on the flip side, same cabinet meeting, the borough council can't support those most vulnerable in this borough affected by the cost of living crisis because they can't afford to fund £35,000 to help support them. I wonder what that tells people. It's not just the £782,000, because there is the recurring element from the interest that's coming off the money that is in the Borough Council's coffers. Fees and charges at 6% is going to yield £512,000. The brown bin on its own. It's interesting how people refer that, you know, we can't change a budget. Well, actually, at the cabinet meeting I was at, the cabinet member took great glee in saying we've decided magnanimously to actually hold the costs for stallholders. So if you can hold the fees and charges for stallholders, why can't you hold the fees and charges for brown bins, car parking, or other key priorities? And actually, if you take the savings I've talked about, there is £1.5 million, excluding Councillor Dodson's numbers, that actually the Borough Council will yield from this. By freezing brown bins, by freezing council tax, by freezing the increase on car parking fees, and don't forget we want people to come in and enjoy the high street, so it seems completely ironic to put up the prices for car parking. If you did that on its own, it would cost no more than £550,000. You have more than enough money to freeze all of those things without necessarily needing to make the impact a regressive impact on the residents of Stafford Borough.
Thank you.
Each member may have one speech on the amendments.
And the amendment was seconded. Councillor Willington, you must vote on it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be fairly brief. I've got to defend what's been said by a member to my left. We didn't get the papers till late on. It didn't even, the papers were too late to actually go to scrutiny. I understand that. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one. And those papers did say that there was a significant windfall for Stafford Borough because of the interest rates and the fact that they've risen so much. Now, Councillor Cook talked a lot about rounding up, and I just have this sort of horrible feeling, he might be thinking the same with council tax, that a rounding up is happening. And I'm asking him, when he's talking about car parking and they can't put 5p on the machines, it's got to be 10p, he never once mentioned that actually you could take that 10p off. And car parking rates should be a nice round pound. Now we've got more money in the coffers. And what we should be doing as a staff of Borough Council is looking at the windfall and finding out how we can give some of that windfall back to our residents
here,
who are suffering, as has been mentioned, with the cost of living crisis. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Can I just remember the opposition that in 1995, from 1995 to 2003, and I do remember the last 4 years because I got elected in 1999, the council tax increase went up 16.5% in those years.
Every year.
Under the Conservative administration in 3%, I do apologise, 3%. And in 2011 to 2015, it went down to 1%. So, you know, please remember when you put in the fees and charges about council tax, and don't increase it too much that people are suffering out there. Can I also say as well, we've got a company in this borough, actually, that's doing a lot of good work trying to bring the community together in the Market Square. Now, that person has had a letter to say she's got to pay for the Market Square, when, in previous years, she was asked and brought in by the council to do this work in the town, and now, since the Market Square has been done, she's been asked to pay, which I do believe is out of order. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to build the community together in the town, and this lady is doing so much good work, and I'm talking about walking streets, we all know what we're talking about. You know, it is not a business because she's not asking people to pay to go to that. So at the end of the day, why are we asking her to pay when the council actually asked her to do this job years ago? Thank you.
I'm sorry, Councillor Cook, you actually did already speak on this amendment, although briefly and despairingly. That's the head of law's point out, you did speak. So, okay. Sorry, Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a member of the Resources Scrutiny who discussed the fees and charges of Rose Parliament before they come before Council, and so it's not to rely on my memory, I've just got the minute. Councillor Carter, Dobson, F. James, R. James, E. James, A. Loughran, E. Keown, A. Nixon, J. Powell, and M. Linton were all present for the resources meeting on the 7th of November. During that meeting, we received. During that meeting, we received a comprehensive presentation from the Deputy Chief Executive surrounding our outturn, which is the financial performance of the Borough Council, along with the fees and charges that do not fall under the protocol of rising at officer discretion and therefore are over and above the rate of inflation. We had a lengthy discussion at that meeting about those fees and charges, and actually we declared that we would accept them and that they would go to full council. So that list of councillors are all ready to vote for that. We did have a lengthy discussion about the levels of charges. There were a number of questions in that scrutiny meeting, and I thought it was a very productive exercise cross-party for us to agree the right way forward for the borough. I would like to ask the member if he would like to reverse all of the fees and charges that have been increased, including the ones at officer discretion, or only the ones that are put forward by resources. I would also like to say that we had a very comprehensive presentation about the financial prudency that we were putting into place around the interest rates that we were going to receive on our cash deposits over the next financial year. I felt that that was measured and prudent, and something that we as a council should take guidance from our Section 151 officer on, and not debate throwing kind of accusations and numbers around which members are not prepared to discuss at a full council meeting. So I recommend that we accept the fees and charges motion as is, having gone through the appropriate and proper scrutiny process and voted on by all members at that scrutiny meeting. Thank you.
advocate for Councillor Gardner accepted in our debate and amendment proposed by Councillor Gosling. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Microphone, Mr.
Mayor. Is it? One of my proponents on. Okay. So you can hear me now.
Yes.
Will the cabinet member resources remember when in opposition he was forever blasting us about fees and charges? Will he now go forth and bring forward his promise to abolish the charges for the brown bin?
Thank you, Councillor James. I suggested a moment ago that we are not debating the amendment. So can I suggest
thank you, Mr. Mayor. In recent years, when we discussed fees and charges and all budgets, then administration was in charge to always ask the opposition to provide a full and comprehensive budget. We don't have one, we just have words.
We're not doing budgets.
Thank you.
Fees and charges.
If there's no further.
Fees and charges, not budgets.
Councillor, thank you.
January budget.
Dawson, do you wish to reply to the comments so far before it goes to the vote?
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor.
I've asked members to look at Appendix 1 of Treasury Management Mid-Year Report. In normal circumstances, this would have been in front of the Scrutiny Committee, but it wasn't, due to the ill health of one of the officers who couldn't produce it in time. I was asked if I would be prepared to let this report come to this Council, and I was given approximately an hour and a half to look at the report and to offer an opinion. I looked at the report and said it was fairly straightforward, and I was happy for it to come forward. So I can assure you that this report, which should have been in front of the Scrutiny Committee, wasn't, and there is nothing wrong with the arithmetic on it. We did question the Section 151 officer as to what the outturns would be, and he said there would be something like, I believe, and perhaps you could correct me through the net, there would be an increased addition to our income from interest from Treasury Management to come through into the final accounts. That was said at the Scrutiny Committee. This report, which shows the running rate currently, if you've been listening to the financial press, you will know that the Bank of England says there is not any chance of the interest rates falling in the near future. So we've got every instance of it going through until the end of this budget year. So we've found a balance running between 60 and 90 million for the previous years. At 0.5% interest, it didn't make a lot of difference. At 5.4%, it makes a huge difference. It's over £4 million, and our spenders, Mr. Councillor Pert has corrected me, is only just over £3 million, £13 million. So an extra £4 million of income to offset our expenses is absolutely huge, and we should not punish our residents by increasing charges when we don't need the income.
Thank
you, Mr. Thank you. It will be a named vote. So, all in terms of amendment, could we have
Mr. Leshley to vote?
Yes, please do. Please do.
So, Mr. Mayor, as the name vote is called for, I will call each member's name out in alphabetical order. When you hear your name, could you say whether you're for, against, or you abstain from the amended motion. So, Councillor Aston.
For.
Councillor Jane Barron.
Apologies.
Councillor Beattie.
For.
Councillor Carter.
Against.
Councillor Cook.
Against.
Councillor Cooper. Councillor Cross?
No apologies.
Yeah. Councillor Dodson?
For.
Councillor A. Ajella?
For.
Councillor B. Ajella?
For.
Councillor Fordham?
Against.
Councillor Godfrey?
Against.
Councillor Hobbs?
Against.
Councillor Hood?
Against.
Councillor F. James?
Against.
Councillor R. James?
For.
Councillor Gareth Jones?
For.
Councillor P. Jones?
For.
Councillor Kenny?
Against.
Councillor Leeson?
Against.
Councillor Loughran?
Against.
Councillor McEwen?
Against.
Councillor Eamon Norton?
Against.
Councillor Deeman Norton?
Against.
Councillor A. Nixon?
Against.
Councillor J. Nixon?
For.
Councillor L. Nixon? Councillor Pardesi?
Against.
Councillor Pearce?
Against.
Councillor Hurt?
For.
Councillor Phillips?
For.
Councillor Howell?
Against.
Councillor J. Reed?
Against.
Councillor A. Reed?
Against.
Councillor Rose?
Against.
Councillor Rooksell?
Against.
Councillor Sandiford?
For.
Councillor Spencer?
Against.
Councillor Thorley?
Against.
And Councillor Whittington?
For.
That's interesting, isn't
it? There's a lot to the residents, isn't there? There you see it, there you go. Magic,
yeah. The amendment is lost, so returning to the original motion, which was proposed by Councillor Cook and seconded by Councillor Godfrey, is there any further question on that?
Mr. Mayor, I ask for named
vote. You ask for vote. We're not for the vote yet. Yeah. We're still in the vote. No further debate. Okay, can we put the original motion? Do you want to answer and reply, Councillor Cook?
Just a brief one, actually, Mr. Mayor.
Just briefly. Mm.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Really, just to say that it's fairly natural for the opposition to want to spend other people's money. Whereas we on this side are in the process at present of devising our first budget, and that will be for the financial year 24-25, after all, it was Conservatives that did 23-24. And all these figures in the budget, was there from the Conservative time. That is legacy. It is the following year where we will have control of our budget, and I hope that we will be perhaps rather softer on many things than the Conservatives have ever been. In terms, particularly, shall we say, of the brown bin scheme. Do remember that the Conservatives put the charge up from 0 to £36. £36. Yeah. Now, what they did, that was in June 2021. In June 2022, they froze it. In 23, the budget for 23, they froze it again. And that is why
We cannot keep doing that, keep freezing it, because the cost is growing hugely each year. So what we are forced to do this year, in January, is to increase it by £6. Now, if the Conservatives had raised it at an incremental rate over the last couple of years, we could have had a lower increase but got to the same point. I would also point out that we are actually on the lower end of boroughs at present in the county in terms of the brown waste scheme. And do remember that you put nothing in the 23-24 budget, your budget, you put nothing into it to support the brown waste scheme. Nothing at all. There was zero in that budget to help. If you wanted to keep the price down, you should have supported it in the budget. You did not do so. So it's a bit hypocritical to say, oh, we have control of this budget, and we could have supported it, but we didn't, but it's their fault for not supporting it. That's nonsense. So please just remember, you could have done something about this in your time, but you didn't. You chose to ignore it and leave us to clear up the mess which you kicked down the road. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, councillors. Can we now
populist politics?
Somebody has the names ballot?
Yeah. Name that?
Yes. We need 8 members to. Mr. Mayor, again, I'll read members' name out of best order. Please state whether you're for, against, or you abstain from the main motion. That's been set. I think it's in charge. I said I'll be for. Councillor Ashton.
Against.
Councillor Jim.
Beasley.
Councillor Beasley?
Yeah, against.
Councillor Carter?
Four.
Councillor Cook?
Four.
Councillor Cooper?
Still a man.
Still
wrong. Long in the
back. He hasn't left yet.
Councillor Dodson?
Against.
Councillor A. Ajala?
Against.
Councillor P. Ajala?
Against.
Councillor Fordham?
For.
Councillor Godfrey?
For.
Councillor Hobbs?
For.
Councillor Hood?
For.
Councillor F. James?
For.
Councillor R. James?
Against.
Councillor Gareth Jones?
Against.
Councillor P. Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Kenny?
For.
Councillor Leeson?
For.
Councillor Lockham?
For.
Councillor McEwen?
For.
Councillor Amy Norton?
For.
Councillor Dean Norton?
For.
Councillor A. Nixon?
For.
Councillor J. Nixon?
Against.
Councillor L. Nixon?
For.
Councillor Cardesi?
For.
Councillor Pearce?
For.
Councillor Pearce?
I'm against.
Councillor Phillips?
Definitely against.
Councillor Powell?
For.
Councillor J. Reed?
For.
Councillor A. Reed?
For.
Councillor Rose?
For.
Councillor Rozelle?
For.
Councillor Sandford?
Against.
Councillor Spencer?
For.
Councillor Thorley?
For.
And Councillor Winnington?
Against.
Thank you. The motion is in fact now carried. Moving on to item 9, the designation of polling districts and places 2023. Councillor Cook, do you want to speak on that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. that's controversial. One never knows. Mr. Mayor, all local authorities are required to review their existing polling districts and places at least once every 5 years. The review considers the suitability of all existing places, ensuring they have reasonable facilities and are accessible for all electors. In practice, actually, officers are continually reviewing the suitability of all polling stations in between each election on an informal basis, with the returning officer, of course, able to use delegated authority to make any changes deemed necessary in between the formal reviews. The next formal review is now due, and a statutory consultation was carried out. The results of the consultation and recommendations from the returning officer are set out in this report. It is recommended, Mr. Mayor, that the proposed changes set out in Appendix 1 and the existing arrangements set out in Appendix 2 be approved. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cook. Who would like to second that motion? Councillor Godfrey? Councillor Turk?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This side of the chamber would like to compliment the officers in a thorough and well-balanced piece of work, supporting local democracy and the tradition of going to vote locally. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anybody else like to speak? In that case,
do they want to name vote, Mr. Mayor?
do you need 8 of you to stand up and do that, Councillor Cook?
Do you wish to follow up on that?
No, I think I've said enough, Mr. Mayor.
Is that for the rest of the year?
No. Thank you, councillors. Okay, this isn't a name vote. So, all those in favour.
Aye.
Any abstentions? No, I think it's all in favour, no against. Okay, thank you. That is carried. Thank you, councillors. Okay, item 10, the Treasury Management Media Report 23-24. Councillor Cook.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Mayor. I think someone up there doesn't like you this evening.
We all love you. Hold of this evening.
Mr. Mayor, as you can see, the purpose of this report is to update members on Treasury management activity and performance during the first half of this financial year. And it's also to provide an economic update and a background to the latest economic forecast of interest rates. That bit tends to be somewhat out of date anyway. We've moved on from there. And you can't help it, it's always out of date by the time we get it. The recommendation, Mr. Mayor, is for the Council to note the report. Now, I could go on at great length about the Treasury management, but I don't intend to do that to you. I'm not inflicting that on you. I'm going to spare you somewhat. Because it seems to me, oops, double volume. It seems to me that what, as councillors, we're most interested in is our money safe? Are people looking after it well? Are they looking after it according to the regulations? And the answer is, we can have our fears allayed to a large extent by some of the items which are actually in the report. And I'm just trying to find them. Yes, here we are. Now, important to note these things. One, we have not exceeded the operational or authorised limits for borrowing. So there is no need to adjust our limits on borrowing. Two, we have a strong investment profile with a good percentage of instant access funds. And you can see Appendix 1 for that. Three, our investment, investments are compliant with our advisors, and that's important. Our team is not working on its own, they're working with advisors who are keeping an eye on them as well. And that is Link Asset Services. Four, there are good rules on investment amongst the money market funds that we are investing in. And we are investing in the best interest of our council taxpayers, and it's underpinned, and this is also important, it's underpinned by CIPFER's code of conduct. In short, Mr. Mayor, this is a stable, steady as you go report, and I ask members to note it. But I would, before I sit down, I'd like to say our team, the investment team, don't normally hit the headlines. They work in the background, and thankfully they don't hit the headlines, because chances are they'll be for all the wrong reasons. But because they work in the background, the back offices, we may actually forget that they're there. And we may actually forget the work which they're doing on our behalf and on behalf of the residents in the borough. And I would like to say, Mr. Mayor, a big thank you to all the members of our investment team, on behalf of the council, for all the work that they do, for the way they look after our money, for the way they keep it free from major risks as much as possible, risks in the field, and the work they do to grow that money as well. They don't probably get thanked very much, and I think we ought to A, recognise them, and B, thank them as well. And I'm sure I have the agreement of the whole council in doing that as well. So please note the report, members.
Thank you, Councillor Crawford. Councillor, oh, sorry, who seconds that? Councillor Crawford. Okay, we've got anybody else in the council?
Thank Councillor Cook for his report. Indeed, the team do work hard. We have, in previous scrutiny committees, had to chivvy them a little because they were behind in getting appropriate rates onto our deposits, as you know. And it is only within the last 12 months that the rates have come up to the levels that we see them at. The amount that the Treasury function committed to the income of the council has been small. At 0.5% interest rate, it couldn't be anything else. What we have now is interest rates have finally got into the market, and we all have to remember that much of this money is put on forward contracts. So once you put it on contract, you don't get it back to reinvest until the end of the contract. So it does lag any changes. Unfortunately for us, the changes are upwards in this case and have been very steep. And hence that has been my whole point, in that we have 4 million of income that is not illusionary and is not going to disappear. And it has not been taken into our budgets. And it should be, it's meaningful. It's valuable to our residents, and it should have avoided them facing cost increases, which are unnecessary. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In some ways, this is a backwards-looking report, because it is charting where we've been and also where we are today. But make no bones about it, there are 78, and I'm making my referring my comments to page 62 principally, and I've got four principal comments I want to make. But make no bones, this council has £78.7 million in the bank. The council has no borrowings. The council is in rude health. This year the average rate of return, if you aggregate the numbers on this page 62, is 5.16%. It will return £4 million that it didn't see last year. We should absolutely pay tribute to the prudence and good financial management of the council and the way that it has balanced risk. Because there are other councils in the country who haven't taken that approach. They've either leveraged themselves to the hilt or bought into spurious schemes and investments. This council has been very prudent over a number of years, and that is why it has the opportunities that it does ahead of itself. I think the credit should go to the officers involved and to their expert independent consultants that have supported the delivery of these results.
Councillor Kent. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to make a point that I have full confidence in our financial officers, in all their recommendations, in all their reports. All of them.
Thank you.
Councillor Jones. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know that we're not at the budget forming stage and that will come early in the new year, but it would be useful to have a commitment from the Cabinet member to indicate to us that when he comes with the budget for the appropriate time, as to that he would highlight how he is proposing to allocate the additional funds that will be available through the higher interest rates, because, as has already been pointed out in previous discussions, it is quite a significant sum, and it will have an impact on his thinking.
It should do.
That's why he's speaking. Sorry, Councillor Godfrey. Yeah, before Councillor Godfrey.
Yeah.
Could you speak, yes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're not a bank. We're not a savings bank. We provide services for the people of this borough. All you seem to be interested in is how much money you can save. Ever since we've taken control of this council, we've been finding underspends everywhere. We've been finding underinvestment. We've been finding gaps in our employment. All because you've been trying to save money. For years, when we were in opposition, thank God we're not anymore, but when we were in opposition, we kept asking you, why are you going to fill that position? Are you going to spend that money? No, because you wanted to look like you wanted to get a nice nest egg there that you wanted to do something. You never did anything with it. You know, we provide services for the people of this borough, and we do it efficiently and cost effectively. You just don't want to spend money. It's as simple as that. It's a nice logical thing you can't get over, and that's the plain truth, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor
Godfrey. Councillor
Mr. Mayor, a couple of points. First of all, we don't know as yet what the government's mind is in terms of what help they're going to be giving to local authorities this year. We won't know what the income streams are from the government until almost Christmas Day, if previous years are anything to go by. At that point, the finance department gets around very briskly to try and start making sense of the budget. And possibly has to adjust things they've already done in the light of government announcements about what they're going to give local authorities. I also have to say that given the autumn statement recently, things did not look rosy for local government.
Absolutely.
They were not one of the favoured government departments. And so we can possibly expect something rather nasty coming our way. We don't know what help we're going to get from the government at all. We don't know whether with the cost of living crisis, with a potential recession, just how much we're going to have to spend extra on all sorts of problems created by those economic issues. So it is fitting that we should keep our powder dry and not be too ready to splurge because we could have problems. Don't assume the government is going to be riding over the hill to save us like the cavalry. And actually, even if they do, they might be there to do us harm rather than to do us good. That's point number one. Point number two. In terms of this so-called £78 million that we've got Treasury management, don't forget, it's not necessarily all our money. It won't be. Don't forget, we are the tax collector. We collect the taxes, the council taxes, not only for the borough, but also hugely for the county council. And of course, for the police and fire commissioner, and even for a few of the richer parishes in the borough. So don't assume that everything in those figures belongs to us. The good thing about them, of course, and Councillor Dobson is quite right, with interest rates going up, about we hold on to those that money for the others, and we dole it out, maybe only to them when they need it. So of course we keep the balance meanwhile and get some interest on it, which is a nice little earner, and an even nicer little earner now that interest rates are going up. But don't assume we've got all that money if only we had. Don't forget, we retain about 10% of what we collect. That's our share, roughly, of council tax. The rest goes from county council to the police and fire commissioner, and to a few, it's always diminished, to a few parishes in the borough. So please don't assume that all the money that is there actually exists for us. It doesn't. If it did, the chief executive would have a Cheshire smile on his face all day. He would be so happy. The officers would be delirious. They think their birthday and Christmas had come all at once. But it doesn't work like that. We're in the real world, unfortunately.
Can we take notes?
Not all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That was the conclusion of debate. Could we have a vote in this place? Are those in favour of the motion report? Anybody against it? Any abstentions? It's unanimous. Thank you. Item 10, review of the Constitution.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, it is me again, I'm afraid.
Oh my goodness, me. Stop lurking.
I've not been holding up the proceedings, Councillor. It's been your side.
Right, we're on the same side
now. The review of the Constitution, Mr. Mayor. This is an annual thing. We look at the review of the Constitution. This year, do you want to move it?
Take it.
Fully agree. I hope you wouldn't ask me to read out the entire.
No, I'm not.
Can I have somebody second that statement? Councillor Hurd, second it. All those in favour? All those, that's carried. No abstention. I'm against it. I think we ground everybody down.
We didn't, I think someone else did.
Okay, Father, I take it there are no matter of items referred from scrutiny committees. In that case, I come to a meeting. Thank you, Council.
The Council made effort for standing for British Mayor and Borough as Andy Cooper retired the Council chamber.
Probably some vanilla.
What are you going to do with all that money? Create more cabinet members, no doubt.